Grace, mercy, and peace are ours this day from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ.
Amen.
It's an interesting section of 2 Kings where we find all sorts of different stories about things that happened to the prophet Elisha. And in this particular story, of course, Israel has been at war with Syria for some time, sometimes called Aram. And the king of Syria has discovered why it is that Israel continues to be able to evade his raids, why the king continues to avoid his ambushes. And so he sets out with a plan. And he sends an army under cover of darkness to surround the city where Elisha is staying. And the prophet of God is cornered. And his servant comes out early in the morning and sees the great army arrayed around the city and runs to his master in panic, in fear, in desperation. And the prophet opens the eyes of the servant to see the reality that they are not merely surrounded by the army of Syria, but they are also surrounded by the army of the Lord of hosts. And through the miracle of God, the soldiers are struck blind. They are taken into the capital before the king. And you can just hear the enthusiasm in the voice of the king of Israel as the text says it twice. Shall I strike them down, Father? Shall I strike them down? And the prophet says, no, of course you shall not strike them down. If you'd captured them yourself, you would not strike them down. How much more so here? Instead, prepare bread and water for them. And the king goes a step further even and prepares a feast for these that he has captured. And thus it is that for a time at least, Syria and Israel live at peace. Peace is kind of an elusive thing. We struggle with it in our culture, especially now. You may have heard there's an election coming up. And we've seen all of the conflict and all of the back and forth, all of the secular politics that are out there coming to a head in the next week or so. You may be acquainted that there are occasionally disagreements among theologians. And that sometimes those discussions can get very heated and difficult. You may even tragically be aware that sometimes not only are there secular politics and theological disagreements, but there are also theological politics out there to be dealt with. Closer to home, we find broken relationships, broken families, personal struggles. It's easy at times to feel so overwhelmed, to feel surrounded by a force that you can't begin to comprehend, much less to deal with and overcome. It's easy to be overwhelmed, feel like you're surrounded by death and destruction. Caught a little glimpse of that this weekend. I was teaching a retreat, and we were talking about marriage and God's plan for husband and wife to live together and to stay together. And there's this one young lady who had been sort of quiet the whole day and hadn't really said much, and just sort of out of nowhere said, yeah, well, what about me? I live in a house where mom and dad have split up years ago. Mom's married a new guy, and dad's married a new woman, and I go back and forth week after week, and I bounce from one house to another, and I don't even know which one I'm supposed to call home. What about me? How do I deal with this? It's a tough question. It's a question that as we talked, I had to reassure her that there is no one simple magic answer for dealing with the difficulties of life, and that God doesn't promise us that these things will all be fixed right here, right now. But I was able to reassure with the gospel that we are never alone, that no matter how chaotic it may be around us, no matter how close The army seems to be to capturing the city. We are surrounded by more than what we see with our eyes. And the truth is, that's why you're here. The truth is, that's why you come to seminary. It's why you want to be a pastor. It's why you want to be a deaconess, because you understand what it's like to live in those moments when the armies of hell come crashing down on our little world. And you know that those moments are so often followed by the unexpected presence of light in the midst of darkness, of life in the midst of death. You've all already had that experience where you go to the mailbox and you find that bill that you didn't expect, you didn't plan for, and you sit down and you go over the numbers, and it doesn't matter how many columns you put them in, it doesn't matter how many times you add them up, they don't all fit. And you know that sick feeling in the middle of your stomach as you look at it, as maybe you look at your wife or your husband, and you try to figure out how on earth you're gonna make it through. But you know that so often that's followed by going to the mailbox again and finding that the ladies' aid at some church in Michigan or Ohio or Illinois that you've never even heard of took up a collection on Sunday to send to a seminary student. You know what it is to see life in the midst of death. You're here because you know what it's like to be at the casket of a loved one, to see what once was vibrant and full of life, cold and still. You know that knot in the pit of your stomach as you're confronted with the reality of death, and every fiber of your being screams that this is not how it's supposed to be, that something has violated our world and left it broken. And you know what it's like to stand before that same casket and hear the reminder that this is not the end of the story. That where there is death, God brings life. Death is not the end, but the beginning of the real story. You're here because you know that God has loved you with an eternal love. That in the waters of baptism, he placed his name on you and said, "You are mine." Not because you were that good, because you earned that right to stand there, but because of the person and work of Christ, because of what he did for us. And because of that, we know that we are never alone. We're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, a great army, a great and powerful God. And day after day, no matter how chaotic the storms of life may seem, no matter how close we get to finals week, no matter how much we struggle in our families, in our world, in our own hearts, we are never alone. We are beloved. We are redeemed, and we are above all his. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, hold our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.